All right, what's going on? It has been a while since I've dropped a podcast, but we are back. I've got a co-host, Kirst Du, so I'm really excited to explore this new format and have a co-host to talk to and bounce ideas off of. I think it's going to make it a much more engaging show. And join us for this first episode as we talk about dreams and what they are, where they come from, and some tangents on a few other things. So join us. Thank you for the support, and I hope you enjoy the show. Heathen Machine, out. All right. Yeah, let's go live. So, all right, we're live. What's going on, everyone? So I am joined here with Kirst, the co-host of this yet to be unnamed podcast. Right now it's the Heathen Machine Chronicles, but I'm sure I'll probably rename it to accommodate the new format. So Kirst, how are you, man?
I'm doing good, man.
We literally just sat here probably for 20 minutes talking about jiu-jitsu, near-death experiences, and like all this stuff that should be on a podcast, but I guess that's how it works. Yeah, so Kirst, man, we met at jiu-jitsu.
Yes, sir.
Now, before we go further, actually, I'm gonna break bad on us. We totally recorded an episode a couple weeks ago, but let's just say it was a little rough. So we'll just say that was maybe what would we call that? The test.
Trial run, yeah.
The trial run. And this podcast will actually probably be the first one all of you hear, which is totally fine. So me and Kirst, we met at jiu-jitsu.
Yes, sir.
Kirst is a blue belt. And the reason why I thought Kirst would be a good fit for this podcast was like, he just talks shit. call me old. You reminded me of a Navy corpsman. And it's funny because all the Marines I've served with, especially in the infantry, will totally understand that mindset because you're a nurse.
Yeah.
So you work in the medical field, you see fucked up stuff, you deal with death and, you know, that kind of thing. And we talked about it in that podcast. Like, you have to have like a really dark sense of humor.
Yeah.
To deal with that.
Dude, that's like that is the way, man. Like,
do you actually have to deal with like anyone? Because you work at a like an
elder, long-term care facility.
Long-term care. Do you have to actually like when someone passes away? Like, how involved do you get with that? Like, are you the guy moving like the bodies out of there when they pass? I mean,
so typically CNAs are going to be tasked with like postmortem care. I'm going to be going in there and, you know, obviously a coroner's going to be the one who declares if someone has passed away. But okay. I'm pretty much like, I go in there and verify there's no vital signs, you know, whip out the old stethoscope, make sure there's nothing going on. I have been there when someone took their last breath. You know, I've been around it, you know, yeah. Just stuff like that. I'm obviously going to be calling the family. That's probably one of the hardest parts.
Oh, you got to call the family.
Yeah.
That's rough.
And you know, you got to tell the family what happened. You got to call the coroner, deal with stuff like that. And probably the hardest part is the family. Now, a lot of times when someone is kind of on like the end of life care, the family's going to be present anyway. But like, I remember one example, we had someone who was very downhill, and the family, we realized that it was kind of a sudden episode, and it wasn't looking good. And we called the family like, hey, you probably need to get up here. Like, this, something's going on. And I had called them and I went back in the room to check, and they were not very far away. Like, they were like, we'll be there in just a minute. So I went and checked, and I had another nurse in there helping me. And she's like, she's already gone. By the time I walked up to let them in the door, you know, they rushed up there as fast as they could. And I had to be like, you know, basically tell them they were too late, you know, and that, you know, they break down, you know, they didn't expect it. You know, it wasn't like they were already,
right.
I mean, you know, if you're in a long-term care facility, you already kind of know that, you know, that's always a possibility at any point in time, but typically there's a downward trend that you can kind of detect And, you know, we kind of know the signs, but this was something, it must've been something very acute, some sort of cardiac, something.
That's dude, I'll be honest, man. Like, that's the weird thing about getting old, and maybe it's our Western culture, but like, I've always been terrified of being put in a place like that. You know, I used to go visit my grandpa before he passed, and he was in a long-term care facility in Ozark, Missouri. It was a good place. So, you know, they took really good care of him. But man, I'd walk in there and like, it was depressing. You know, it smelled like fucking piss. It's just, there were smells in there that like seemed to just linger. Like, it was clean.
Yeah.
Very clean facility. Like, they, you know, you're good?
Yeah.
Okay. Dude, yeah. Burp right into that shit. Everyone loves that fucking shit.
Let it go, bro.
Yeah, it was just, I don't know, man, because maybe I've been active my whole life and like, I'm really big on being independent, and just there's something about that atmosphere. Like, why can't they design them to be like, and it's probably me because I love nature so much, but in my mind, if I was going to build a whole bunch of long-term care facilities, I would almost like make it so it was like spilling out into like a natural setting where there was just a, like the middle of it, there's just this giant fucking glass domed room where it's just gardens and birds. And like, I think that stuff is really good for people.
It is.
You know, where like you go into these typical facility and it's very sterile. It's all tile floors. And I get why. I get it. It's easy to clean, keep non-porous surfaces and all this mm-hmm. other stuff. But like, it just seems like there's so much more they could do. And you think we would want to, because those are our fucking relatives, right? It's like, you think that as a society, we would say, hey, you know what? Let's build these really cool places where like the elderly actually want to be. Like, cause one of the hard things was with my grandpa was up until like, he was, man, I think he was 92 or something. But before that, he was pretty independent. He, you know, what happened to him happens to so many elderly people. He fell and he broke his hip.
Yep.
And that's kind of like, man, that's usually when you're in your 80s, like, that's, how can I say it? Like, that's kind of like, no pun intended, but that's kind of like a nail in the coffin.
Yep.
But, you know, that's such a catastrophic injury, even for someone young.
Yep.
Breaking your hip like that. Like, but when you're elderly, and so he was, you know, he was living independently in an apartment with like, it was like a 50 and older, and he was playing cards with people. And then when he went into this facility, man, like you could just, he was always very, very like positive and just very jolly. Like he was, and maybe you have someone like this at your facility, but like, there's always like that one that everybody just like, but likes, like,
yeah,
and he was that guy. Like everyone at the staff loved him, knew him, and we visited him. Like he was, they told us this is the other sad thing about these facilities. They're like, we love to see that all of you come, because not only were like me and my ex-wife going in, like my biological dad, like all that family, they would all visit weekly almost. And they're like, we love seeing that, because they're like, there's so many people in here that they don't get any visitors. And it's like, man,
I'll tell you, like, well, first of all, the facility, just back on the previous point, we do actually have, in my facility, we have two courtyards.
Oh.
And there's like a small garden one. We have a fellow who goes out there, and, you know,
nice.
He gets, you know, farms tomatoes or whatever, you know, I mean,
nice. A lot of people, see, that's cool, man. That's cool.
You know, a lot of
that's
people cool. don't utilize it.
Yeah.
And you got to keep in mind, there's a lot of people that aren't able to utilize it. Like, because we deal with a lot of that. But,
that makes sense.
But on the, what did you just mention right after that? You mentioned that, having a positive patient.
Just yeah. like a big, humongous domed room with just birds and gardens, and like almost where you're bringing nature into the building, you know, where it's like, you know, and again, it could just be me because I love nature. And like, in my mind, like, I don't have kids. So I know I'm going to be that old person because, you know, and it doesn't really bother me, but I'm just very aware of it. But it's like, I would just hope that I can, I hope I will be cognizant enough that I can go out on my own terms. Like, if I know I'm dying, I'm like, I'm just going to go off into the fucking woods, sit against a tree and just let nature take its course. Like, I would rather that than being in a hospital or a care facility and, you know, fucking having people take care of you and all this other stuff. And it's like, I would struggle with that. But when my grandpa got really depressed, that's what I was gonna, like, he got, it sucked to see him have this energy and then hurt. Then it was like, there was no choice. He had to go into it because he needed that care. And, you know, just to kind of see his spirits dwindle to the point where he had to go on antidepressants like the last year of his life.
Oh, yeah.
And so he's really depressed. And you know what's interesting? So we're going to do a psychedelic episode. We're probably going to do a few of those in the future, just so you know. And it'd be cool to get your like nurse impressions on psychedelics and like the medical part of it. But I'll go through this. So I wrote a bunch about my psychedelic experiences and I was going through it the other day. And I wrote that. So this would have been 2018 or 2017. I wrote and I was keeping a journal and I wrote in there, we went and visited my grandpa and this was like at the height of my psychedelic exploration and I was microdosing, seeing what was up with that. And I remember writing in there and I said, you know, it's ironic that, you know, here I am, I'm working on my depression and I'm not taking pharmaceuticals. I'm using like mushrooms and having great effect, really, really positive results. And then there's my grandpa who's kind of going through the traditional medical pipeline, super depressed, and he's on antidepressants and it's only making him worse. Yeah. You know, and I wrote about just sort of the irony in that, where if he were allowed to have some kind of psychedelic experience, I bet it would have changed like a lot of his outlook. And so I'm not going to go any further because this could suddenly turn into a psychedelic episode.
Yeah.
But the whole, this episode, so I was talking to Kirs about this. It just came to me because, this would have been this past Monday. Did I say dreams or was it the Monday before?
I think you mentioned this Monday.
Monday. Yeah. So I was driving. Okay. So it was because
I wasn't there the Monday before.
Yeah, that's right. You weren't. So recently I've been having, I had a really, really vivid dream a couple nights ago. And whenever I have vivid dreams, I write them down typically and I will keep them in my back pocket. And so I got into class. I'm like, Kirs, we got to talk about dreams. I have to talk because I've been having fucking weird dreams. And I've got a bunch, you know, I've got some written down on my phone. So yeah, I kind of wanted to dive into dreams and just, like talk about the weirdness of mine. And I did pull something up here. Okay. So this is going to be from Medical News Today. And, so this was medically reviewed by Timothy J. Legg. So thanks, Timothy. Yeah, thanks, Tim. He's got a PhD and what is a PSYD? Is that psychology degree or like that? I see. Since you're the, so he's got his PhD.
I'm gonna assume, but that is a hard assume right there. So,
I think it's like
he definitely got a doctorate in psychology for sure. Like that's what
okay.
It's like.
Okay. Well, that makes sense then, because he's talking about dreams. So he's saying, dreams are stories and images that our minds create while we sleep. They can be entertaining, fun, romantic, disturbing, and sometimes bizarre. Dreams may have some benefits, such as helping the brain process information gathered during the day. Let's see. They are an enduring source of mystery for scientists and psychological doctors. Why do they occur? What causes them? Can we control them? What do they mean? So that's what this article. So we'll kind of reference back to this article, but I want to share with all of you the dream I had. I've already shared it with Kirs, so he's just going to I guess, hear it again.
Go for it, man.
You hear it again. So, okay. So this would have been, this had to have been Saturday night. This past Saturday night. So in the dream, I felt like I was in the house I grew up in, when I was, God, how old would I have been? I would have been in fifth, sixth, seventh grade. I lived in Dearborn, the west end of Dearborn. We lived in this little house on Robindale, right on the corner. And it was very vivid in the dream because, so like my brother and I, we had like a loft bedroom. So you'd come down from this bedroom and immediately face like another bedroom. So in this dream, I'm standing in the doorway, like at least that's kind of how I perceived it. I'm standing in this doorway from that stair looking into that room, and there's like a body hanging in that room. But the room isn't just a room. It's like a fucking butcher room. And like I'm with like two or three people, and I don't know who these people are, but they know me. And I go into this room and like we're fucking processing people like they're fucking animal carcasses. And like the people cutting up the bodies are literally just like eating strips of meat as they're cutting it. And like I go in there and I must have been a part of it because, you know, they're talking to me. And so in my dream, I get sick and I throw up, but it's weird because I throw up like this yellow fucking, like a chunk of yellow something. But it was weird because in the dream, I didn't throw up because I was disgusted at what was going on. Like I threw up because I was just legitimately not feeling good. So, I was eating some of this meat too, but that was the dream. It was like, I'm in this setting and they're processing these, like skinning these human bodies and eating them. Like it was totally fucking normal. And that was the dream I had. But the crazy thing about the dream is that while this is going on, I'm simultaneously thinking like how fucked up this dream is. And I wake up. And as soon as I woke up, I laid in my bed, just like kind of like taken aback because I can't even think of any reason why I would have had that. Now, so we've been reading Blood Meridian.
Yes.
So Kirsten and I, we like to read, and just as fate would have it, he's reading Blood Meridian by Cormac McCarthy. And if all of you don't know who he is, he wrote The Road, No Country for Old Men,
all the pretty horses,
yeah. and a couple other really good books, but. So, and Blood Meridian is pretty, they got some pretty violent scenes in it.
Yeah,
babies getting bashed against rocks and babies hanging from trees and
violence of all nature.
Yeah. Just the violence in the American Southwest along the Texas Mexico border in the roughly 1840s to like the 1870s. Okay. So I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but it was just this really fucking vivid dream.
So I got a suggestion right off the bat.
Yeah.
Don't go to bed hungry. That fucking hungry. Like, Jesus,
you know,
man.
It's funny you say that because I've been gaining weight, right? With this TRT, starting this TRT. Mm-hmm. And even though I know some of it's water, you know, I'm walking. So I wake up, I'm like 176. Mm-hmm. Without anything, which months before I was waking up about 172. Mm-hmm. So then when I eat and drink water throughout the day, I'm hitting like 180. And so what I've been doing recently is like I've been just, I'll cut my meal off at like 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And I won't eat, but I'm fucking starving. I'm so hungry.
Hungry enough to eat a person. Huh?
I didn't even think about that. That's funny you say that. Like I wonder if, well, because like in this article, you know, it's talking about dreams are like these, it's our bodies processing, you know, stuff. Like, cause I've heard that before about dreams is like, it's when we go into dreams, you know, our brain is basically, like organizing all the content that we've taken in for the day, or if something's really weighing on our mind, excuse me, it'll kind of spill over into that subconscious and make its way into our dreams. Because so this would have probably been a week and a half ago, 2 weeks, had another dream. Mm-hmm. So in this dream, now this I think was very much influenced by environmental factors. It was storming out. And it was cool enough. So I had like all my windows open in my room. When it's nice out, I'll have all my windows open. It was thundering. So in this dream, I was coming out of a building and I was with people I served in the Marine Corps with. Now, I couldn't specifically say who it was, but like, you know how in a dream, you just like, you know, like, I just know that that's who that is. Mm-hmm. Like, it was one of those things. But as I'm walking out of this building, I look off in my brain and in the dream, I'm looking west. And there's like, all of a sudden, there's just these apocalyptic explosions in the distance. And like, it was like a cross between a fucking comet hitting the planet, a nuclear bomb. And like, I remember in the dream, I'm like, oh man, okay. I wasn't really afraid or anything, but I woke up and it was thundering, like crazy storm, thunder, lightning, okay. Rain.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, so that must have seeped its way into my dream. But it's funny because, you know, a lot of my dreams will have like military elements in it, which is so fucking weird because, okay, I'm 41. I've experienced a lot of stuff at this point. And I was only in the Marine Corps for just under 5 years. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that experience was so intense that I still, like, for anyone who served, they'll understand this. So, like, when we were deployed or when we would, like, take our rifles out to clean them, like, the minute you sign that rifle out, the minute you sign any piece of serialized gear, like, you are 100% responsible. And if you lose it, dire consequences. So in a lot of my dreams, I'll dream I have to get to formation and I forget my rifle somewhere and like panic.
Yeah.
Fucking panic ensues. And it's so weird because it's like, I haven't had to worry about that in fucking 10 years.
Yep.
10 years, dude. I've been out of the military for a decade at this point, and I still have dreams like that. Does that ever happen to you with like work? Like, do you ever have dreams at work? Like any weird spillover with that? Like fucking old people haunting your dreams or anything?
No, I don't. I gotta say, I'm really, I do not remember a lot of my dreams. I've had a few that are really trippy. My girlfriend remembers a lot of hers.
Well, it says about, let's see, this, not to interrupt you, but.
Go ahead.
Says about 95% of dreams are forgotten by the time a person gets out of bed.
Which I'm probably thankful for.
Yeah. Let's see. It says, we may not remember dreaming, but everyone is thought to dream between 3 and 6 times per night.
That's crazy. Well, I'll tell you one thing that does spill over. So, you know, that phase, I guess, would be maybe the NREM state of sleep. You know, you're getting to sleep, you know, and sometimes
like as you're falling asleep.
Yeah. You'll kind of have like a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I will hear fucking fall alarms going off.
Wait, what?
Yeah, okay. So in, you know, long-term care facilities, if someone like self-transfers a lot and they don't need to, their fall risk, fall alarms go off. Like, you know, they'll be like a doo doo doo.
And you'll hear that.
Dude, I'll be like, oh, I need to get somebody. I'm like, oh no, I need to go to sleep. Like I'm at fucking home, you know?
Whoa.
But, it's
a little creepy.
Yeah. And I was actually, I've done a little bit of reading on this. So, when you're dreaming, anatomically speaking, a lot of your brain is shut off. So the prefrontal cortex is kind of like your decision-making, kind of like a little bit of who you are. Mm-hmm. And then your preorbital cortex, I think is what it's called. That's going to deal with some different stuff. Both of those are shut off completely. That's kind of like I think your preorbital cortex is what's going to be like, helps you differ reality from fiction, you know? So that's shut off. So obviously when dreams get fucking wacky and you have no idea why, and you're like, wow, this is strange, but you can't process that it's not real sometimes. But actually what is stimulating this dream, where dreams are coming from, is the amygdala. And
amygdala.
Yeah. So basically that is like
the fear center.
That is the fear center, man. That is like a lot of emotions are being channeled through that. So, you know, a lot of the stuff you're experiencing is purely emotion and imagination. Like it's, if your emotions could run wild, you know?
So I know we weren't going to talk about psychedelics.
Okay.
But this is what a lot of people get wrong about psychedelics. They think that when you, consume a psychedelic, like your brain is on fire and it's just sparking and firing. Mm. It's actually the opposite. It puts your amygdala to sleep, which is why psychedelics allow people to confront trauma. Because, I mean, you're a nurse, you know this. Your amygdala is where everything first comes into your brain. So, like, you can watch a scary movie, and the reason why you're scared is because of your amygdala.
Yeah.
So when you consume a psychedelic, that amygdala basically goes to sleep. So that's why psychedelic, when you have a psychedelic experience, that's why it feels like a waking dream. Mm. Because your amygdala is no longer active. Like, that's all verified in every single study they've done on psychedelics, is that when you consume a psychedelic, your amygdala goes to sleep. I did an episode on that. We'll revisit that episode, but it's interesting. You mentioned the amygdala and dreams, because it's very much tied into that psychedelic experience, because it's the same way with dreams, right? So when we dream, like you said, sometimes a lot of times you don't even remember the dream. When you're in a psychedelic experience, it's the same thing. As you're in the experience, like, you're thinking to yourself, how could I never remember this? Mm. But when you come down from that experience, you're like, wait, what? I don't remember anything. Like, you know, you had it. And it's like you're waking up from a dream when you have an intense psychedelic experience. It's the same fucking way. And so, like, that's why dreams, I think, are really fascinating, because they directly tie into the psychedelic experience in that way, because it's just when you're in a psychedelic state, you're conscious.
Is it strange, though? Like, it seems like a lot of people report being hyper emotional at the same time.
Yes. But I'll cry like in my intense journeys. Like, I'm not saying I'm unemotional, but like, pretty, you're probably the same, like, pretty stoic, you know. I tend to be very stoic.
Right.
And especially you got to deal with, you know, on the medical field, like, you cannot afford to be emotional.
Yeah.
And so, but when I'm like deep into a psychedelic trip, I fucking cry. Like, mm-hmm. I'll cry for 45 straight minutes, and it feels great.
Really?
It feels amazing. It feels like, you know, this whole, yeah, man, it feels like you're releasing stuff, you know? And I get there's that stigma of crying, and there's a lot of like masculine dudes trying to change that. But I just don't think that'll ever happen. But when you're in a psychedelic state, you do not give a fuck.
Yeah.
You do not care, because your amygdala is done. It's asleep.
Right.
So, like, that's why psychedelics are being used so much right now for mental health and therapy, because when you consume that, it's your amygdala is like, all right, dude, I'm checking out, but you're on your own, which is why. So most people freak out with psychedelics, and the freak out occurs usually like in the first 30 minutes. It's when that psychedelic hits them. They're not used to their amygdala just allowing everything to come in. Mm. So it feels like you're dying, right? So when you have at the beginning of an intense psychedelic trip, you, for some reason, your brain's like, oh God, I'm dying. Like, we're dying, but you're not, you know, you're not obviously dying. And as long as you can not follow that rabbit hole, like, it doesn't last very long, and you slingshot into the space and you're like, this is the best fucking, you just got to get over that. I call it turbulence. So you get a little bit of turbulence. You got to get over that turbulence. But like, I feel like it's kind of that same way with like the dreams and stuff like that. You're not going to remember your experience. You're really not going to remember a whole lot of your psychedelic experience, you know? And it's only a really handful of dreams that I've ever remembered, you know, because I'm a writer.
Yeah.
So when I have these intense dreams, I'm like, I fucking immediately get up, get on my phone, get on my notes, and I type out as much as I can and can remember. And then throughout the day, little bits and pieces will come back, but I'll make sure that I'm not like adding things in that weren't there. Mm-hmm. You know, I make sure, like, I'm not writing fiction.
Like fabricating to make it more narratively.
Yes. Yeah. Like, oh, let me build a narrative around this. Like, no. Like, let me keep it as raw as possible. But I don't know. I guess I've always been fascinated with dreams. You know, I've been a dreamer my whole life. I've had vivid dreams my whole life. Like, and then it's like, there's people, you know, that don't dream. They're like, man, I can't even like remember a dream or anything like that.
I can remember a couple.
Like, do you ever have any kind of recurring dream that will come back at certain times?
No, but speaking on the, you know, just the stigma of crying and in dreams themselves, I'll share this one really quick, because this was a very strange experience for me. I know that, like, typically, like, if you lose like an extremely close family member, like, it's super common to dream of said family member in the future.
Yes.
I have never had that, but I did have a friend. His name was Colby Hostler. And me and him just raised hell when we were younger. He's a fucking daredevil, dude. Like, really good kid. And towards, you know, probably like the last couple years, you know, like maybe like 2015, we weren't as close, you know, friend groups change in high school.
Absolutely.
You know, yep. You know, things change. But I still, like, I would talk to him most every day. We were at school at least a little bit, you know, and, you know, fuck, I had my first beer with this guy, you know, like, I mean, you know, me and him went back, and he ended up crashing his S10 outside of a town, our hometown. And he ended up being alive for another month, but he was pretty much brain dead. You know, they were just kind of keeping him alive.
Damn, that sucks, man.
And it's, you know, and almost like, just the hanging on, seeing if maybe he'll recover, but, you know, somewhere in the back of your brain, you know, he's not going to,
right.
You know, but it was hard, you know, and he passed away, and it fucked with all of us, man. You know, we had a whole friend group, you know, and, you know, I still think about him intermittently, but, you know, this is not like an everyday thing that I'm sitting there, you know, like, but, you know, in the back of my brain, I'll see something, you know, like, I'll see the baseball field by the school, you know, I'll think of him, you know, or I'll see like an S10 on the road, you know, I'll think, like, it's just a little stuff. Right. I keep, like,
yes,
he had like a pair of pliers in his truck. And me and my friend, out of his truck, he gave me the pair of pliers that he had. And, you know, I just, like, I keep them in my car, you know, just like, just a little stuff like that. Right.
Absolutely.
And this was maybe, 6 or 8 months ago. Like I said, I don't think about him every day, you know, but, I had went to sleep and I woke up in the middle of the night and I realized that, I just had a whole fucking conversation with this guy. Like, he was sitting in the room with me.
Whoa.
And I don't remember a lot,
dang,
you know, and I remember like just little stuff, dude, man. Like, he was telling me he was, you know, he was good. And it was like, you know, and it was just like exactly how he was in 2017. That's exactly what he looked like. And I woke up and, my girlfriend woke, cause I kind of jolted awake after it happened. And, you know, she, was like, hey, are you okay? You know, and dude, I couldn't help fucking crying. Like, holy shit. It was so goddamn real.
That's intense, man.
Yeah, it was so goddamn real. But I literally, like, I was just overcome with emotion of just, like, I just literally had a conversation with him.
Dang.
You know, it was a very strange experience. And
well, it's interesting because before we started the podcast, we were actually talking about, you know, death.
Yeah.
Dying, what's after. And like my great aunt, you know, before she passed, seeing a person all in white being like, hey, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, no, but she still ended up passing 2 days later. Mm-hmm. And it's like, so when my grandma passed away, my mom had that too. Like, she would dream and it's like, and she would say, like, she was visited by my grandma, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know. I struggle with a lot of that. You know, I've lost a lot of friends at this point, and it's weird because I've never actually dreamed about any of them. Like, so that casket flag over there, Julian Ortiz, you know, I was towards the end there, you know, I was really close with him, and, like, you know, my wife and I were the last ones to see him the night he killed himself. And, you know, it took me a very long time to, and it still affects me, you know, like, it's not something that goes away, but the guilt of all of that, it weighed very heavily on me, and really struggled with it. But even as much as that affected me, and as much as I still think about him, I've never actually, like, had a dream where, like, I've never had that kind of dream where I felt like he's visited or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And it's been with anybody I've lost. Like, I don't know, man. It's like the dreams are usually less about people and more about like, I don't know, being in like different settings and situations. It's always more situationally based or more setting based, you know? I mean, like, with like the fucking dead bodies, it's like, and like, there's never any really specific people in my dreams, mm-hmm. which is always kind of interesting. But yeah, I couldn't imagine. I mean, but I know plenty of people who've had dreams where like a friend, a good friend or loved one has come and basically had a conversation with them. And again, they say the same, like they can't really remember everything, but it was like,
I wish I could, but I can't.
Yeah. Well, it's just, and who's to say that that didn't fucking happen. You know, I know, I think you and I both tend to lean more towards logic, right? Logic. And
yeah, I'm agnostic in nature.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Right. But like, and for a really long time, I was like, pretty much like, nah, I'm an atheist, man. Like there's, yep. But I think, honestly, I think because of psychedelics and I think, just maybe getting a bit older and like understanding that like, dude, I'm already halfway through this journey. And it's like, and not that it fucks with me, it's inevitable for all of us. But, you know, I've even, especially lately, like I've been thinking a lot about it and it's like, man, you know, who knows? Like who the fuck knows? Like maybe we, you know, everyone, we always talk about we're beings of energy, right? So it's like, who's to say that maybe our physical body dies and who knows, maybe we are that energy. Oh, am I, are we still on?
Why?
Okay. I just thought I unplugged, but no, we're still like these beings of energy. And maybe when we like the physical part of us goes, that there's like this energy to us that just kind of keeps going on. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. It'd be really cool if that were the case. And maybe we're not supposed to know. I mean,
it kind of seems that way.
Well, I know there's people who think that dreams are like a gateway to other places. And like, that's always really fun because with like DMT, you know, DMT.
I've watched Joe Rogan for 15 minutes.
So. Yeah. Well, so the funny thing about that is it's like, it seems like everyone that has a DMT, I've never done it, but it seems like everyone that has a DMT experiences, they have like almost a similar experience, like the machine elves,
the fucking clockwork elves, baby.
Yeah. And like these entities. And so like, there's legitimate scientists and people talking like, well, maybe it's a communication. Maybe we look at the way we communicate, you know, maybe we're looking at it all wrong. Like maybe there's some kind of civilization that's so advanced that to us it's magic, but to them they're like, look, just eat these mushrooms and it'll open up this pathway and you're talking to us. But like, we tend to be very cynical and skeptical about things. As much as, isn't that funny, as superstitious as people tend to be, like there's still some things that people won't buy into. Like people are way cool with like there being a single God and like Jesus walked on water. But the minute you mention an alien, they're like, dude, whoa, settle down there, bro. Like,
yeah, no way.
You're getting a little crazy. And it's like, what do you mean? Like you literally think this guy came back from the dead. Like, and you think me talking about aliens is fucking crazy. It's like,
let's be honest here. Every fucking outcome sounds equally crazy. That's the problem. That's why I sit on the fence. Cause like,
yeah,
the idea of, I know I'm not fucking obviously extremely educated on the idea of evolution and Big Bang Theory, et cetera.
Yeah.
But the idea that all of this just spawned from nothing in an instant is just, that's almost as insane as, you know, I mean, it's all insane. Like it's nothing. Insane. It's the more you think about it, the more it makes your fucking head hurt, you know?
Yes. Okay. So dreams, let's possible explanations. So let's run over this real quick. So there are several theories about why we dream. Let's see, are dreams merely part of the sleep cycle or do they serve some other purpose? So some possible explanations he lists are, they represent unconscious desires and wishes. So I guess I could see that. I don't know. For me personally, I don't know a dream about eating people. It's definitely not.
Maybe somewhere deep down, you're just like, you're curious, you know, like,
I'm like, what do it taste like? Like in The Road.
Yeah.
You know, did you
not read The Road? I honestly have not watched the movie either.
Oh my God.
I know.
Well, damn. Okay. Well,
I'm assuming there's cannibalism. Though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Cause it's like it's a collapse of society. It's like a nuclear disaster. Everything's dead. There's nothing alive. It's the most depressing book I've ever read in my life.
Yep.
Okay. So desires and wishes. Well, because one of the other recurring dreams I have is, let me pull up on my phone. I'll read it. I'll read it from the old phone here.
Do you ever have any like terrible nightmares?
No.
Damn.
No, because I don't know. Maybe it's because of the mindset. Like, and I think maybe the Marine Corps changed it, but I just refuse to be afraid of stuff. Like, you know, that's why I love like being out in the woods by myself, because so many people let their imagination run wild and they hear, I think we talked about this too, like they hear noises in the woods and like, oh my God, it's Bigfoot. And it's like, you fucking idiot. It's like a deer walking through the woods, man. Like, you know what I mean? They hear like a mountain lion in heat and they're like, oh, it's a chupacabra. It's just, people are ignorant to nature and what's in nature and all that stuff.
I'm going to butt in just with a little bit here. Okay. So have you heard of Missing 411?
Yes. I watched it. And,
you can't tell me that doesn't just like send like a few chills up your spine. Like, these motherfuckers are disappearing off the face of the earth.
Here's the problem is I want to believe it.
Believe so what? We have no fucking explanation.
I know. But man, I don't know. People disappear. Like it happens. It's like, so I listened to this other podcast. It's called Unexplained Mysteries.
Yes.
And have you heard of that one? It's really interesting. It's Parcast. They got like a huge fucking thing of podcasts, but one of them is Unexplained Mysteries. And a lot of their episodes are on just things straight up disappearing, planes, ships, you know, people just disappearing. And like some of the episodes usually end with them like finally finding it. And it was always in the spot where just people just didn't look there because they're like, there's no way it's going to be here.
Yeah.
I just think humans are so easily manipulated and influenced that like, that's the, my hens making noise. Sure. Yeah, gotcha. You guys can't hear it, but in the background, my hens are just making a ruckus. That's like their attention. They're like, yo, but man, they're all like,
you just fed them when I got here.
I know. Like, yeah. They're so, and they were just free ranging all day. Like they're spoiled as shit, man. I'm just looking for these. Here we go. Recurring dreams. Okay. So I wrote this. Okay. So this is actually, I wrote this down in my phone because like I needed to write this down. So this is what I put. I have this recurring dream. Some parts of it change sometimes, but not the way I feel. No, how I feel is always the same. In one of the variations of this dream, I find myself drifting in space. Sometimes I'm inside some sort of craft, usually pod-like and small. There's never anyone else. It's just me. And somehow I end up being ejected from this craft so that I'm drifting. And somewhere deep in my psyche, I know that I'm hopelessly adrift. Sometimes I catch glimpses of a place, and I put it in quotations, like air quotes, place, that seems familiar as it spirals slowly away, and the space between us becomes an ever wider gulf, the familiar becoming further away from my reach. But I'm not bothered by this. I'm never bothered by this in these dreams. And I kind of jazzed this up. Because the stars in these dreams are always like super vivid. They look like jewel stars. And I'm always kind of pinwheeling about. And so these stars are always glimmering frantically and the colors are mesmerizing. And so in another version of this dream, I'm usually adrift in space and there's no craft. I'm not in any craft. And there's no longer a familiar place. So I'm like literally just drifting in the void. Surrounded by stars. There's nothing there. It's always just me, but I'm never afraid. As a matter of fact, not only am I not afraid, I fucking love it. It's peaceful. I feel like I'm flying. And it's weird because there's no, I'm in the void. Like there's nothing there. Like, you know, it would seem like something you'd be panicking in, but in the dream, it's like, I'm totally cool with it. I'm totally okay. But see, there's another version of this dream. So, in this other version, I'm usually deep in the ocean and like, let's say the Pacific. And I'm immersed and I write unfathomable depths. Cause in the dreams, I'm always like, I just know in my head that I'm like fucking deep underwater. Mm-hmm. Right. And, sometimes like, again, I'm in a vessel. Sometimes I'm in like a sub or sometimes, and I always get ejected out. And then there's times where I'm not in this vessel, but it's crazy because in this dream, I'm always surrounded by these fucking massive creatures that are swimming around me. It's always chaotic. It's always stormy, but I'm never afraid. It's fucking weird, man. I'm not afraid. It's intense. It's like an intense dream, but so and let me see what else I write. But the underlying current of these dreams is that I'm never afraid. I'm never troubled or scared or upset about the circumstances. In these dreams, I'm alert, but always calm, and sometimes even seem to be enjoying it, especially when they take place in space. I'm often aware of the concept of breathing, yet I know I have no need of it, and I'm not bothered by it. As odd as the dreams may be, as vulnerable as they make me feel every night I fall asleep, I hope these are the dreams I'm gifted with. Like, so I go to bed now, like, hoping I have one of these dreams.
You want to be underwater with giant sea creatures?
That's yeah, well, I'm terrifying. Not, but that's the weird thing is it's like, they're not coming after me. It's like, I'm just there being a part of the scene. Like they know that I'm not, I don't know. It's weird. Like I never feel like there's never a part in that dream where I feel like I'm at risk of being devoured by these fucking leviathans. Like just massive creatures.
Dude, I've got thalassophobia. Like that's terrifying, man. Like just the idea of giant creatures underwater. Like that would be a nightmare.
Wait, what do you have?
It's called thalassophobia. It's just kind of like this.
So is that the fear of like when you're floating on the water, what's underneath?
Yeah, man. Just
I have it too.
Just because the ocean itself is so fucking terrifying. Yeah. And that just that idea of that dream sounds.
Okay, so that's funny you say that. I bet you a lot of people have that.
Yep.
And so here's a great example. So growing up, my family had a cottage in Canada. On Lake Superior. Was it Lake Superior? Lake Huron. Okay. So we would often go out on my uncle's boat, Red Rider, and we'd go tubing. And, you know, the Great Lakes, I don't know if you've ever been up to the...
No,
oh, my God, man. Just beautiful. They're big oceans, freshwater oceans. And so we would go tubing. And I remember I was always terrified when I fell off the tube because, dude, like...
How many hundreds of feet is that deep?
Well, probably where we're at, it was like 80 feet, but you can literally see the bottom.
Is that clear?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, dude. But like when you're in that water and there's no land, you're just like, this is terrifying. Cause in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm like, something's going to come up and grab me. Like,
yep.
Cause there's big ass pike in those lakes, dude. And pike will fucking bite you. You know, they'll nibble on a toe. So I remember being like 12 years old, just floating in that Lake Huron. I'm like, this is fucking awful, dude. Yep. But like, yeah, man. So you'd think that dream would freak me out, but maybe because I'm under the water and I can see, but like, yeah, man, it's always really intense. And like, those are the kind of dreams I hope I have when I go to sleep, because there's just like a sense of peace. Like, well, even the dream with like the cannibal dream, I don't know. It was weird. I wasn't like, that was the weird thing. I wasn't even upset. I was sick, you know, in the dream I'm sick, but I'm like, I'm not sick because we're butchering people and eating them. And I'm like, I'm sick just because some other reason. And like one of the people's cutting up the bodies, like, hey, are you okay, man? And it was like, fucking just so weird, dude. So like, Okay, so here's another one. Interpreting random signals from the brain and body during sleep. So that's another possible explanation for dreams. Consolidating and processing information gathered during the day. So that's what we said that. Mm. I've heard that before. Or it's working as a form of psychotherapy, which I could see that one because, you know, especially with these dreams of being in the void, right? Like you, when I first told you, you were like, that sounds like death.
Yeah.
You know, but which is interesting because like I actually felt the opposite. I felt very much alive in those dreams. And I felt like if I were to actually sit down and think about why I'm dreaming it and where I'm at in my life, I'm like, well, you know, if this is some kind of psychotherapy, then maybe I'm just dealing with like being alone, you know, like being by myself, kind of navigating everything by myself and being okay with it. So like, you know, that's how I guess that's how I, like, that's what I tell myself. That's what I interpret it as. So if it's a form of psychotherapy for me, I'm like, okay.
Do you find it odd that both these locations that you're dreaming in are places that you would physically not be able to breathe and you're okay with it?
Yeah.
You would fucking die.
The locations, it is weird, man. Like, but at the same time, those are two places that fascinate me. Like space, especially. I mean, I love, part of me regrets not getting to see humanity if it makes it into space, like, because I think it would be the coolest thing. Now, I'm of the belief that I don't think we're ever getting off this planet. I think we're too fucking, I think either a cataclysm or humanity we're gonna stop ourselves from doing it. Like, I don't think it'll happen. Mm. I just don't. I mean, I get like, we got shit going out, but I think we live in a house of cards, man. Like, everything's precarious and everything's so fragile, and the smallest thing can just send us right back to the beginning. So I don't know, but that's just a weird aside. But yeah, I don't know, man. Space and the ocean. Like, I spent some time on the ocean. I mean, especially on my first deployment, on the 24th Mew, we got to cross the Pacific or the Atlantic. I'm sorry, cross the Atlantic. And that was pretty cool. So yeah, I think that's where like maybe the ocean stuff comes from. Maybe just my experiences. Like,
I mean, how long were you on it?
Well, we took our time crossing both times. So we're probably on ship for 2 weeks, maybe even three. It might've been longer, but we'd always go out and like hang out on the observation deck at night. And it was super cool, man. Like, there's two places in this planet that I've been where I've never seen a clearer sky. And this could also be, you know, these recurring dreams with space. So we were on the Mesa Verde. That was the ship we were on. And so in the middle of the ocean, the sky is just, it's fucking amazing. Like, you're never going to see a clearer view of the sky. And then when we were in Djibouti, Africa, we trained with the...
Did you say Djibouti?
Djibouti, yeah. That's the name of it. Djibouti, Africa.
Damn, bro. Okay, my inner 12-year-old came out. Okay, yeah.
So Djibouti, Africa is a French territory, and it's like, it's surrounded by Sudan. It's in the Horn of Africa. It's like the shitty part.
Oh, wow.
Well, it's in the very conflict heavy part of Africa, but we were doing training with the French Foreign Legion, and we camped out a couple nights with them. And so when we're out in the field, you know, all I had was a little mosquito net, and you're literally sleeping under the stars. And that was one of the other times, like, literally falling asleep. I slept the best in my life when we went out on field ops and on deployments.
Seriously?
Yeah, dude. It was amazing. Like, especially those ones in Africa. It was like, you know, there's no infrastructure in Africa. There's nothing. Like, even the cities, it's like, we wouldn't call it an infrastructure. They might, but it's definitely not.
Do they kind of govern themselves or what?
Yeah. Well, I mean, in Djibouti, it's like I said, it's very French. So the French are, you know, they're involved there a lot. They got some bases and they operate out of there, and they do a lot of counterinsurgency operations in Africa, as the French Foreign Legion does. But just, I remember seeing that sky and I was like, man, that sky, dude, it was just beautiful. You could see every just millions of stars, and you know you're still only seeing a fraction yep. of what there is to see. So I don't know, man. The locations, I mean, like I said, my dreams are usually about location, and it's like it's and stars are involved a lot. Vast spaces or like the desert. The desert's another place I fucking love. Like, and I don't even know why, you know, right. maybe the desert I attribute to my time in the Marine Corps, because we trained mostly we did a lot of training in the desert. And then obviously Afghanistan is such a, oh man, it's like such an ancient landscape. You know, like we were in areas where like Alexander the Great and his armies walked through. Damn, dude, fucking crazy. So it's like, they call it the graveyard of empires for a reason, you know, like no fucking empire has ever conquered Afghanistan or done anything with it. Britain, Russia, the US, Alexander the Great. I mean, everyone failed mm-hmm. and will continue to fail because that's the place. And so I was out that desert fascinated me, that environment, the wideness, the openness of it. So that always stuck with me. So those are some possible explanations, right? So psychotherapy, information processing, but so it goes on to say, from evidence and new research methodologies, researchers have speculated that dreaming serves the following functions. Let's see, offline memory reprocessing, in which the brain consolidates learning and memory tasks and supports and records. Wait, and supports and records waking consciousness. So I guess that kind of goes in with like processing information gathered through the day.
Right.
Which can make sense because I've had times where like I'll watch a movie and I'll have a dream about it. Like, so
my girlfriend does that a shit ton.
Does she?
We watch horror movies, bro. It okay. fucks with her.
Okay.
Heart.
Okay. So we just watched, I just watched that new Dungeons and Dragons movie.
Okay, how was it?
It was good.
No shit.
Yes.
People are dogging on it, man.
I don't know why. I mean, it's Dungeons and Dragons, man. Like, yeah. I didn't mind it. And I'm pretty critical of most movies nowadays. And I actually enjoyed it, man. Like, Chris Pine's pretty good in it. Like, you got to take it for what it is, man. It's a goofy fantasy. Yeah.
Was it like a natural 20 or was it like a 15? Like,
what?
What do you mean? Joke about the goofy. Like, a 27.
Good one, man.
1 out of 20, man.
Good one. A little fucking geek reference there.
Oh, dude.
A little nerd reference.
Used to play the shit out of D&D, man.
I played it once, and it was actually, I was a half giant. I played as a half giant, mm-hmm. and it was actually a lot of fun. Now, my brother, my young brother's into Warhammer 40K. He's a tabletop.
Dude.
Plays the fuck out of 40K. Like, he goes to the Games Workshop fucking store, mm-hmm. and like all weekend, man, he's playing. Tabletop. He plays as the World Eaters. Mm-hmm. Fucking chaos. He's all about that chaos. He's a fucking heretic. Okay. So another, due to apparently evidence and new research methodologies, dreams serve the following function. Preparing for possible future threats.
What the fuck?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And I guess that makes sense because I told you about this one I have. This is another recurring dream. Now, I haven't had this one in a while, but, you know, I'm on the beach and like a fucking 100-foot wave just appears out of nowhere. And like sometimes it'll hit and sometimes like I'll wake up before it's – but it's like I'm usually in awe. I'm never really scared. I'm just in awe. But
there's definitely some sort of acceptance of death thing. In these dreams, there's gotta be. Yeah. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, I had to get okay with. I mean, anyone who's. I mean, look, dude. Like, I mean, being a human, you're always at risk of dying in the most weird ways.
Yep.
But you know, I think a lot of that stems from probably combat. I would say, because I think when you're in that kind of environment, that hyper, you have to be hyper aware. And you know, like you almost take it as a fact that you're gonna die. Like, I mean, because how else are you gonna perform that job if you're just thinking about like, oh my God, I'm going to fucking die. You don't think
if
about
I pop out of cover, I might die. If yeah, I do this, I might die.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, is this going to be the day? Is this going to be the patrol I go on and step on an ID? Like, is this the day I get shot in the face? It's like, yeah. I would think that's the shit that would go through my head. But like, it didn't matter. I would, those thoughts would go through my head, but I was still doing my job and I was still like, still run into the fucking fight. Like, it didn't prevent me from doing my job, but those thoughts were there. So like, yeah, man, there was definitely that acceptance of like, of death and dying and just having to be okay with it. And I think that's, you know, I think that's a lot of combat vets. They come back and that, like, that's the thing they have a trouble with connecting with people is, you know, I think people, especially like in the United States, like for the most part, people live pretty good fucking lives, man. Like, oh, yeah. Even I've been to a lot of third world countries, and like even the poor people here and like the homeless live better than a typical African. Like, they still have access to more stuff than some of these terrible countries. And so I think like when you come back from that, it's hard to reconnect with people because most people aren't like leaving their house and being like, okay, I'm I can get shot in the face. Like, most people aren't thinking that.
Oh no.
Even though that can happen.
Yeah.
Like, even though that is a reality for anybody getting in a car accident, like fucking shit happens, dude. Like, before I deleted my TikTok, I got down this weird rabbit hole of like, I don't know. Like, there's morbid shit on TikTok and Instagram. Oh, yeah. Pet tributes. And like, I came across this one and it was this lady and it was her Ring camera. And she was like, this was the last I ever saw of my husband. And it's like, is her husband just leaving the house with his lunch? And like, he walks away and like literally hours later, he got in this horrific accident and died. I'm like, this is fucking, why are people posting this shit?
Yeah.
But it's like, that's how fragile our life is. So yeah, there could be an acceptance of death. And I don't know, man, maybe there is that connection with like, cause like, you know, before we were recording, we were talking about those near death experiences and some people we know have had them. And it always seems like the experiences are kind of the same. You know, there's like this, there's comfort, there's acceptance.
Yeah.
There's not being afraid. There's almost this understanding that, you know, something's changed, but you don't know what's changed, but you're okay with it because mm-hmm. it doesn't matter. It's like, it's irrelevant now because you're out floating in the void. But see, with me and my dreams, there's never anything. There's no other energy. There's nothing else. It's just me in this space, but I'm still okay with it. So,
you know, I always, I heard this this theory, and of course, you know, it's not going to be how it is, but just, it was a really pleasant thought.
Theories
or non-pleasant thought. It was, whatever you believe would happen in the afterlife is what would happen. And that was like,
dude, that's funny you say that because like, I've thought about that a lot.
Yeah.
It's like, everyone will have their own individual afterlife. Mm-hmm. It'll be whatever they want it to be. That's fucking interesting.
Yep.
And I bet you any money that every person listening to this will say the same thing.
What?
Because that's the interesting thing about death is that we all think, while like we're all individuals and we're all very unique, I think there's some things that every fucking person experiences. So when you're talking about death, like, I bet you any money, like what I think about it or my theories, mm-hmm. I promise you there's millions of people have the same fucking theory.
Yeah.
But they don't know that other people have that theory.
What, you know, afraid to talk about it or just,
well, I don't know. I don't think people like to talk about death because we all know it's going to happen to us.
Right.
So, I mean, like, that's the interesting thing about Western society is Western society sees like, we're terrified of death and dying. It's like, we're terrified of it, but what if it's not such a bad thing? What if it's, you know, what if it's like, what if this body is a cocoon? It sounds crazy, but what if this body's a cocoon?
Yeah.
What if like we're gestating and when we die, like what we're supposed to be actually.
It's actually a next step.
Yeah. Like, and if scientists and physicists are like, no, there's multiverses and there's all these versions of you. What if, here's something that I thought about, not even that this is about death and dying, but I've always wondered, like, what if we're always dying? We're just, when, like, we're jumping into another version of ourselves.
Dude, that is exactly, I'm just thinking of a movie. Okay, hold on.
I told you.
Listen,
see,
but,
you're
okay.
thinking the same shit.
Yeah, okay. So there is there's a movie. It's been on Netflix for a while. It's called The Discovery, right? It has Jason Segel. Has Robert Redford, I believe. And it's a very interesting take on that.
Okay,
yeah.
okay. So he's Ocean Beach.
Yes.
I've seen it. Okay.
Very interesting concept. But, you know, they're trying to figure out exactly what happens after death.
Yes.
And as they progress through the movie, they finally figure out that death, after like you go back to one of your greatest mistakes or one of your biggest regrets, and you have an opportunity to fix that and continue your memory from there. And like, dude, how fucking great would that be? You know, you could just, I mean, damn, dude, that was such a cool concept. I love that movie when it came out.
I thought this before that. That's funny because I forgot about that movie. That was a really good movie.
Yeah.
That was
That
was a really good movie, by the way. Yeah. I should probably watch that again. I don't want to give any, but the ending was fucking top notch. Like,
yes.
Absolute. I did not see it coming.
Mm-hmm.
But like, yeah, I don't know. I've always wondered. It's like, well, if there's all these different realities and universes, like, I don't know. What if I died in Afghanistan, but I just jumped into a different version of my reality?
Right.
Like, what if that's how it works, you know, I guess, or something like that.
Like quantum reality, like there's just infinite, like it's.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because like physicists are saying like there's an infinite amount, there's like infinite versions of us. So if there's an infinite versions of us, then that's like, I mean, what would that even look like? Like, well, you know what I mean? Like that there's like all these pathways. It's like with choices, right now. We don't see it, but before us, there's a string of a billion choices we can make. But the minute we make that one choice, all those billions of strings go away. And then the whole new set
open up. Yep.
Of, you know, so like, what if, I don't know, man, what if dreams and dying and death were all kind of like, you know, in that thing? What if in our dreams, we're actually manipulating other parts of the universe? Like, that's fucking crazy to think
about. Maybe it's a peek into another reality.
Right. Yep. What if you're actually jumping into another version of yourself? So like I dreamt about cannibalizing people and like, what if there's a version of me out there that's like literally doing that? We're me and my fucking crew. We're just yoking up people and butchering them and
Maybe all the wildlife's dead. And yeah.
Being like, totally cool with it. And then like, maybe there's another version of me that's just lost in space. You know, I'm like a space dude and I'm like, I'm fucked, but I'm like, I've accepted it. And I'm like, okay. Like I've thought about that too. I'm like, that'd be cool if like, we're actually jumping into. So there's a movie with, this came out in like 2000. You remember Jet Li? You know Jet Li is?
Yes. He's a
martial arts.
Yeah, martial arts.
He did a movie that, so I forget what it's called. And it's going to, let me look it up. So in the movie, he basically, a version of him is going through all the realities to kill every version of him. Because every time he kills a version of him, he gets stronger.
Hmm.
So let me look this up. Because it's going to bug me if I can't remember it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Fearless. It's a pretty trippy movie. And I really love the concept of it. The One. That's what it's called. It came out in 2001. So this is what. In a stunning dual role, international star Jet Li portrays Gabriel Yula, a police officer confronted with a sinister form of himself escaped from an advanced parallel universe. And intent on killing him. His alter ego's hunt culminates in a fateful battle between good and evil. So that's the whole thing, is like his alter ego from another universe is killing all the versions of him that exists.
Mm-hmm. Because
every time he does it, he gets super powerful. It's almost like Highlander. You know,
I've never seen Highlander.
Oh, dude. Bro, you gotta watch not only the movies with Christopher Lambert, which are kind of terrible, but the TV series was fucking top notch. I forget the guy's name, but it's really fascinating, right? So like every time he kills an immortal, he gets their, you know, he gets their powers and energy. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of along that same concept. What's that? The Highlander TV show was so good. The TV series.
Was it on Netflix and shit or what?
No, it's on Tubi now. So it's on Tubi. You can watch it on Tubi, on Peacock, on Amazon. Okay. So I'm going to watch it again. So Adrian Paul, that's the name of the guy who plays, dude, look, he's a good looking guy. Yeah. He's older now, but like dude was perfect. I wish he would have played the guy in the movies instead of Christopher Lambert. I like Christopher Lambert, but like, I just, he's not a good actor, but
yeah.
Okay. Let's go back to some other possible explanations for these dreams. Let's see. Here we go. Cognitive simulation of real life experiences. As dreaming is a subsystem of the waking default network, the part of the mind active during daydreaming. That makes a lot of sense because I daydream a lot about space. I daydream a lot about creatures, oceans, because I'm a writer.
Yep.
So I wonder, that's really interesting because you asked, like, you know, there's a lot of these similar like elements to a lot of these dreams, you know, the inevitability of something, the acceptance of something, and always being in these really in these like vast locations, the beach, space, the ocean,
yeah.
like, you know, very like void, like maybe not the beach so much, but the beach, yeah. you know, but for me, like I grew up, my family, we used to go to Topsail, in North Carolina for vacation. We did that like 8 or 9 years in a row when I was growing up. And that was such a good fucking time. Cause like, I'll have dreams being at those places we stayed at with that same wave coming, but never being afraid. So like that daydreaming aspect is actually really, that kind of makes sense. You know, like maybe I wonder if daydreamers, because I got in trouble in school a lot, not because I was malicious, but because I daydreamed.
Yeah.
And I talked all the time. So much so that I would just interrupt. Teachers talk. I didn't give a fuck. I was kind of a dick like that. And like, but I love to talk and I love daydreaming about things. And like, so much so that in fifth grade, we had to write in my English class, we had to write a story. And just because I liked action and I was in fifth grade and I wrote a story about assassinating the president.
Oh shit.
Well, I'm in fifth grade, man.
Yeah.
I got in trouble, but my parents were, but everyone was really kind of like, they didn't know how to deal with it. Cause the story was actually really good.
Yeah.
But the teacher was like, this is not appropriate. And my parents were kind of in this weird spot. They're like, it's pretty good though.
Yeah.
like this is pretty good.
Yeah, whether
like,
to punish you or be like,
well, I was going to a Catholic school. Oh, so okay. Like, yeah, man, which is funny. I got kicked out eventually, but
yeah,
like, yeah, man, I wrote the story and it wasn't malicious. I wasn't like, it was like an action story. Like the president got assassinated. The teacher's like, we can't have this. Like, but it's good, man. It's a fucking story. Mm-hmm. But I've always been like that imagination type stuff, you know?
And I guess I'm not a super creative person. I don't really.
Well, but you write though.
A little bit. Yeah. I mean, just a little here and there, you know.
Kierce, I just did a reels about things you never say about yourself. Don't say that you're not creative. Don't do that. Just tell yourself that it's just something you haven't developed yet.
Yeah.
That's it. Cause it is something you develop. And I mean, you're what, 24?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. So I didn't even start writing 35.
Like, oh, wow.
Yeah. And it took psychedelics for me to finally be like, oh, dude, I want to write. Mm-hmm. Like it took that extreme experience to be like, yo, what are you fucking doing, dude? Like you're always imagining crazy shit. So let's write this down. Let's get this down on paper, you know, but I think it's something you develop because like I'll go in and out with that creativity. It'll come in and out. But sometimes it'll be like super vivid. Like I'll be driving home from jujitsu and I have to be careful sometimes because, you know, after jujitsu, like you feel good, man, got a good rolling. And so like for me, I got an hour drive and I'm driving in this beautiful countryside, you know, you drive down 21. So you see, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful drive, man.
Very dangerous road though.
It's very dangerous.
Yeah.
Well, there's times where I will like, I'll be thinking about a story and I just start I'll just start thinking about it. And like, I'm doing 70 before I know it or like I'm doing 35 and I'm like, oh shit, I need to like, and that'll happen. And so, I guess that makes sense. You know, like it's simulating real life experiences and daydreaming. Like that kind of makes sense. But you know, what's funny about like kind of going back to psychedelics is that, so in dreams, like there's times where you feel like you can manipulate it, but your psychedelic experience, it's like you almost have to totally, the minute you try to interfere with your own experience, mm-hmm. that's when shit goes haywire. The minute someone tries to control their trip, that's when shit gets bad.
Right.
You can't control it. Like, you got to ride it out. That's why, like, when people are having a really bad experience, the worst thing you can do, fuck, here we go talking about psychedelics. The worst thing you can do is trip with someone who's just not a good friend. And here's the thing. Friends think they're being good friends when they're fucking with you and you're tripping, but they're not. They're being fucking pieces of shit. That's why I tell people, if you're going to trip and you want to do it with somebody, you better fucking trust them. And you better make sure that they will not fuck with you, because I'd say 99% of bad trips, which there are no bad trips, they're challenging trips, is because the people they're with aren't tripping and they're fucking with them.
Right.
They're telling them weird shit. They're doing, making faces like that.
That dude looks like there's bugs in your face, man. You might want to fix that.
There you go. See, that's the shit you don't sell. Because when you're under a psychedelic experience, that amygdala is down. So you're very, you can be manipulated very easily.
Right.
You'll believe anything. Because there's nothing to stop that anymore. Like, you're wide open. You're like, you look like a demon. You're like, oh my, don't you, you know, Chase.
Yeah.
That story he's told.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the same thing.
True fucking story, man.
Yeah. So it's like, you're very receptive to what's coming at you when you're in that experience. But when you're in a dream, I guess, you know, you don't get that. But all right. So let's do this next one. Let's see. Dreams may help develop cognitive capabilities.
How is that?
I don't know, because it doesn't really expand on it. So, and that's actually, that's from PubMed. That's
Wow.
So that's actually, let's right click on it and see if we can get the study.
Maybe I can like dream about manipulating the stock market and becoming very rich.
Bro. Okay. You should try that. So I've heard people, we talked about lucid dreaming, right?
Right. A little bit. Yeah.
So a lot of lucid dreamers will literally, like, before they go to sleep, they will write something in their notebook and they will like have intention before they go to sleep. And sometimes it'll help. Oh, I got to connect to the internet because no, I am on the internet. Sometimes it'll help, but all right. Well, it looks like we're not going to access that. Let's see here. Develop, go to source. Come on. But yeah, no, I guess it's not happening. It says crashed. Well, anyway, that was a study that said that helps develop cognitive capabilities. I wonder how.
You can't learn something you don't already know through a dream. There's no fucking way.
No, you can.
How?
Absolutely. Okay, and I'm going to tie this back to psychedelics again. So, you know the guys that found the DNA helix?
No. Actually, what was their name?
Francis and Crick or something like that.
Right.
Let's see. DNA. You know, the structure of DNA.
Yeah.
So those guys.
Actually, no, you're right. There's actually been.
They discovered it.
Under, I read about something. Acid trip. They discovered the acid trip. The chemical structure of a. It starts with a B. It's some sort of chemical. The scientist who was studying it literally went to sleep and dreamed of the structure.
And psychedelics. And psychedelics. So dreams and psychedelics, you absolutely can learn. So that makes sense, because I've woken up from dreams with like story ideas.
Right.
And stuff like, oh, ooh. So I guess that could really help. And I know that there's people out there that have had dreams that have answered questions for them.
But, you know, I feel like those answers, they couldn't put them together while they were awake. But, you know, I don't think I'm going to go to sleep and learn, you know, like expand, like learn how to speak some French.
Yeah.
In my fucking dream. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I'm not going to learn something.
Probably not that profound.
Yeah.
I bet. Like, I imagine. I wonder why this is not opening. That's kind of a bummer.
You got that fucking.
I got that
wilderness.
I know. I got
Missouri dial up,
fucking
baby.
Shitty HughesNet internet, man.
Fucking
absolutely terrible.
Got a few kilobytes a second, baby.
Yeah, it's not even bringing that up. Keep saying crashed. Let's switch. Let's switch internets. Let's do the hotspot, because usually my hotspot's way better.
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of curious about this cognitive thing. That's like kind of interesting. And this is an interesting podcast.
How do you
It's going
right.
to be.
Damn right, listener.
It's going to be the best one. It's the best one ever. All right, let's try. Let's try it now. Boom. Nope. Okay. So.
It's not meant to be, man.
Not meant to be. Okay, cool. Well, you just have to take our word for it.
Trust me. Just believe us.
Yeah. All right, here's another one. Reflecting on conscious mental function in a psychoanalytic way. That's interesting. So reflecting unconscious mental functions. So I guess that would be our subconscious, huh?
Yeah,
I suppose. Like so. Maybe we're exploring the depths of our mind.
Yeah. Parts we don't usually. You know, okay, I'm gonna venture a little bit into the nightmare atmosphere a little bit here. Okay, we're gonna get a little bit spooky.
Let's do it.
Okay. So I did have an ex-girlfriend, and she told me because she had at a very low point in her life, she did have issues with night terrors, and it almost correlated with like how she was doing. Like she was in a very dark spot. And she said that, yeah. And she told me this, and I never forgot it. So she would have like these dreams where it was like her eyes would be open, but she would like sleep paralysis, which is a fucking terrifying idea. And she had an experience she told me about, and she had a couple, but this one was just absolutely made my fucking skin crawl. Right. So she was in bed, and she kind of like woke up. Not really. She could open her eyes, and she could see like a shadowy figure like standing in her bedroom doorway. And you know, you can't fucking do anything, man. You're just trapped in the spot.
Right.
And to just kind of summarize, this thing like just kept getting closer to her. You know, she's a dark shape, right? And this thing literally climbs.
Did it sit on her chest?
On top of her and sits on her fucking chest. And she's like, I could feel the whole weight, whatever that was. I couldn't fucking, I was panicking because I couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
And when she finally woke up, she felt like she had literally just been like squashed, you know, like fucking squashed like from somebody in Mount, man.
So
like,
that dark has a name. There's actually a really terrifying documentary on Netflix. Let me see if I can find it. It's called The Nightmare it's okay. So it's not on Netflix anymore. It's on Tubi.
Okay.
And it's on Amazon Prime. So it's called The Nightmare, and 8 people experience sleep paralysis, and they all have that fucking guy sitting on their chest. So I had a couple of sleep paralysis experiences.
Yeah.
But mine were different. They were never at night. It didn't last long. And it only happened a handful of times.
Okay.
At a very specific part of my life. So it happened with me. It happened during the daytime. Okay. And a couple of times it happened. So when I was in high school, just as I got out of high school, I worked at a courthouse in Livonia, the 16th District Court. So I'd go it was like a 10-minute drive from my house. So I'd go home for lunch and I'd just take a nap. I'd lay on my couch.
Yeah.
So the first time it happened, I'm laying on my couch and I remember my eyes were open and I was looking at the clock on top of the TV. But then I realized that like I couldn't move. And I was like, and I like literally like I felt like I was cement. But so it didn't last long. So I woke up, but then I woke up and I'm like, dude, my heart was racing. I was breathing super fast. Like I felt like I just ran fucking 50 miles.
Damn.
In like an hour. Yeah. And I was like, whoa, that was really weird. Now it started getting weirder. So this weeks went by and then I went home for lunch and I laid on. So we had this little couch and in this house we lived in Livonia. And the room was kind of sunk down.
Okay.
So I'd lay on this couch.
It's like a living room that's like set into the ground.
A little bit. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So I'd lay on this couch and on the other side was the computer's desk station. So I couldn't see anything on the other side of that. And so like when I'm laying on the couch looking at my feet, I can't see anything around that corner. Mm-hmm. So this happened again. But this time I was scared because I'm laying there and I know I'm in the state again. But I can't do anything. Mm. And the weirdest thing about it, dude, like it still gives me goosebumps, dude, was I could hear water dripping and it was like echoing. And in my mind, I knew that if I could look around that corner, it would fucking terrify me. Like, dude.
Yeah. You got fucking goosebumps, dude, right now.
It would fucking scare me. Like,
yeah.
I knew if I looked around that corner, it'd be something that I would not want to see. Right. And I'd wake up. And the same thing, I'd be like breathing. And then the last time it happened, it was a little bit better. The dripping water was still there. But we had this really, really good dog. His name was Loki. He was a Rottweiler. And he died like a year or two prior. And so this was happening. And as I'm having this, I remember I don't know if I actually did it, but like my hand reached down and like he was licking my hand. Like, dog's dead, you know? Oh, but like in this, but in this experience, like he's like comforting me.
Yeah.
And,
or maybe it wasn't the dog licking your hand.
Oh, you're, ooh. So we're getting into scary stories. Did you read that one?
No.
Okay. So scary stories to tell in the dark.
I've read those books. Yeah.
Okay. So there's a story. Do you remember the one where I think it's a girl or a boy, they go to sleep and they keep hearing these weird noises and they put their hand down, their dog licks their hand, and like, and then when she wakes up,
the dog's dead.
Well, right. And on the wall in blood, it's like humans can lick fingers too. Like,
Man, yeah, those were so good. You know, the art was so good in those. Man, those was,
anyway. But when you read those stories now, they're not that scary.
But when you were a fucking kid, terrified the fuck
out of me. Yeah, especially the one with the spiders coming out of the chick's face.
I remember the art. I can see the picture.
And it was in the movie.
They
did that story in the movie.
I watched that in theaters, actually.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but go ahead. You are so.
Those are the experiences I had with that sleep paralysis. Like, it was never like I could never see an entity, but like. It felt like something malicious was there, which is really weird. So it makes you wonder, right? Like dream states. Like, what if we are? What if H.P. Lovecraft, I'm not into H.P. Lovecraft a lot, but it's interesting because a lot of like a lot of his creatures of the void, that's crazy.
Yeah.
A lot of the creatures of the void are like things I'm dreaming about. Like, so what if there is that place? What if that exists? Like, what if like there is a fucking barrier that we're just not meant to like cross over? And then sometimes when we're in that dream state,
you just kind of poke our head through a little
bit. Like we for some reason people get sucked into it and they experience it, and then we wake up and it's like when we're awake nothing can affect us. It's kind of like that. It's kind of like the Friday, the Nightmare on Elm Street.
Okay.
Freddy Krueger.
Yeah,
you know, it's like he can't hurt them when they're awake.
You can't fucking stay away forever though, man.
Right. Yep. So, but that was always the interesting thing in those movies is all the kids were like, they do everything they could to stay awake and they never could. And next thing I knew, they're in that dream world. It's like, what if there's an element of that that's actually real? Like, that's kind of trippy.
Yeah.
Let's see. A unique state of consciousness that incorporates experience of the present, processing of the past, and preparation for the future. So that's kind of the same thing it said earlier.
Processing the past?
Yeah. Preparing for the future.
Honestly, that kind of makes sense with the story I told earlier a little bit. Like, almost kind of provided a sense of closure.
Talking
for me.
To your friend. Yeah.
It almost was like kind of like closure. Like, maybe he actually visited. Yeah. You never fucking know.
Again, look, man, you got to understand, like, science obviously is going to always be skeptical about fucking things that can't test, things that can't see, things that can't prove. So like, that's the only problem I ever have with science is if something is an anomaly, they just dismiss it.
Yep.
Instead of being like, well, but why is it an anomaly? Why are you afraid to figure out what the fuck's going on? Like, what
if it's impossible to figure it out? How are they going to,
Yeah. And then how can they base theories off of anything else? But like, that's an interesting thing because like, I guess when we think about the conversation we just had and about dreams dying and psychedelics, like that's a weird combination that seems to go together.
Yeah.
Because the psychedelic experience elicits both the feeling of death and the dreamlike state, when that psychedelic experience kicks in, you're like, oh my God, I'm dying. And then a good person's like, hey, you're okay. You're going to have a good time. Mm-hmm. Boom. You take off and you are in that dreamlike state. And you're like, this is the best dream I've ever had because I'm awake. I'm experiencing it. Mm-hmm. But then the trip stops and you're like, wait a minute. What did I just experience?
Yeah.
It's out. It's gone. It's like dreams. Like we go to bed and what are we doing? We're laying down, we're closing our eyes, and like we're fucking basically dying. And
just flipping the off switch.
Some people don't wake up.
Yeah.
Like plenty of people have fucking died in their sleep. And I'll be honest, like if that's the way I want to go. Like
just everybody wants to go, man.
Huh?
That's where everybody wants to go.
Yeah,
man.
Just die in your sleep. Just never woke up. We had a guy, my ex-wife had a friend, his name was Tony, and she never met him in person. but we were all set to, right? He lived down here in Arkansas. And we made plans. We're like, okay, cool, man. We're going to finally meet. Really cool guy. Mm-hmm. And she gets a message like, dude, Tony didn't wake up, man. Like, went to sleep, never woke up.
Typically, there is some sort of like, you know, there a clot gets thrown. You know, we're talking like strokes, pulmonary embolisms, heart attacks.
He didn't have anything. It was just, he just passed.
How old was the guy? How the fuck was that?
He was like maybe in his 60s. I don't think he was very healthy, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
he was a hippie.
Yeah.
You know, hippies are, I don't know, not always the healthiest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of like not always the healthiest. Yeah. So, like, this article is going to be very, very scientific with the dream stuff, but it's like, because they don't know what, okay, well, here's one on nightmares. Okay. So, nightmares. Nightmares are distressing dreams that cause the dreamer to feel a number of disturbing emotions. Common reactions to a nightmare are stress, fear, trauma, emotional difficulties, illness. So they don't really actually explain nightmares. So, okay, so hold on. It says dreams are a universal human experience that, yeah, of course, that can be described as a state of consciousness characterized by sensory, cognitive, and emotional occurrences during sleep. The dreamer has reduced control over the content. Yes. Mm-hmm. There is no cognitive state that has been as extensively studied and yet as frequently misunderstood as dreaming. Mm. Okay. We know that. Let's see. Neuroscientists are interested in the structures involved in dream production, dream organization, and narratability. However, psychoanalysis concentrates on the meaning of dreams. Okay. So that's just how they, okay, but here's lucid dreams. So lucid dreaming is the dreamer. Lucid dreaming is the dreamer is aware. So it should be the lucid dreaming is the dreamer that is aware that they are dreaming. They may have some control over their dream. The measure of control can vary between lucid dreams. They often occur in the middle of a regular dream when the sleeping person realizes suddenly that they are dreaming. Some experience them at random, while others have reported being able to increase their capacity to control their dreams.
Yeah. So I'll mention this because I feel like everybody's had this this experience. I've been dreaming, and I'd be like in my old house or something, mm-hmm. and I could feel things. Like, I would know things were. I know it was in a dream state, but I could feel things starting to slip into a nightmare. Like, I'd start like,
so in your dream.
Yes, like I could feel, okay, things like start to transition into like more of like a scary atmosphere. And I remember I've had dreams where I've like, I would try to stave that off. Like, I would like try to like, okay, no, like we're not going there. You know, we're staying right here in the pleasant.
Interesting.
And typically,
so you're aware.
In a way, yeah. But yeah. I don't think I can stave it off that long. It usually does transition.
It still
to scary.
Happens.
And I don't remember a lot of details about those, but like, you just see something little and you'd be like, yeah, this is starting to go the wrong fucking way. And you just can't really stop it. You can stop it for a little bit, but eventually, if it wants to go there, it's going to go there, which is extremely frustrating. And,
you know, as much as I dream, I don't think I've ever had a proper lucid dream. I mean, it'd be really, really cool if I could.
I'm sure I'd call that a lucid dream. It's more of like, I mean, I guess I'm acknowledging I'm there, but
maybe it's partly a lucid dream because they're saying it's like when you're aware that you're dreaming.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of dreams. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm definitely dreaming. Like the body one, like the dead body one. I was like I knew I right before I woke up, I had the thought like, I need to get out of here.
Mm.
And I woke up.
Yep.
Because I knew it was just a fucked up situation. Mm-hmm. I'm like, because even in that dream, I was like, what the fuck, dude? I usually don't, my dreams are usually not violent.
Yeah.
Like, as much as like I joke about violence and I'm like, I mean, I just see violence as a tool. I mean, I'm not like, I don't, you know, I don't wish violence on anybody, but I'm certainly not afraid of it. And yeah. I do love watching really violent stuff, but like my dreams are usually not violent. Like, I'm not committing violent acts. Like, no violent acts will be committed on me. It's just, like the ones I've described, just, you know, I'm watching an explosion or, you know, maybe like the scene around me is violent, but it's never like fucking people getting eviscerated. And as much as I listen to death metal and like,
oh yeah,
everything I listen to, you'd think like your dreams must be violent. It's like, nah, they're usually pretty chill. Like, because usually by the time I go to bed, like I try to be in that state where I'm calm and, you know, I'm usually 30 grams of edibles in, but like, Yeah, man, it's rare that I have these, you know, violent, and I don't, I've never been able to control. Like, I've never been in a dream and be like, oh, I want a gun, and then have a gun. I'm like, ooh, I want a sword, and I want wings. I want to, like, that's never, I've never had a dream like that, you know, where like the vivid dreams I have, I wake up and I just write them down as soon as possible. Mm. Like the SEAL one, like the fucking pulling up to the dock, and there's hundreds of SEALs bloody in the water, and the water's turquoise, and it's like, dude, what the fuck, man? Like, you know, stuff like that. So I don't know, man. I guess I've just always been fascinated with dreams. Maybe because I daydream a lot. Like, even now, I always wondered when I was younger, I'm like, do older people, like, as stupid as that sounds, like, but when you're like 15, like, what does someone in their 50s think about? Like, I always thought that. Like, and so here I'm 41 and I'm like, I still daydream about shit. Like, it doesn't go away. And I don't know if it does for some people. I don't know if some people stop that, but I still daydream about crazy shit. And maybe, I don't know, maybe that's why I do like writing. Cause it's like, I still daydream and I still,
it, man.
It is. And it's like, and I guess that makes sense that it spills over into our dreams, but it's weird because I've never dreamt about things I'm writing about. So you think I would.
That would make sense, yeah. If you're focused on it for a long time.
Yeah, but maybe it's because I'm getting it out. Like, because, you know, the story I'm working on now, it's been sitting in my head for years. And I, like, it has to get out. It's just, it's hard to explain that to people because I don't think a lot of people understand that. Like, because not everybody writes. And not everybody writes fiction. And not everybody writes, like, science fiction, fantasy fiction, which is, like, it's really involved if you want to write something good. But these characters have lived in my head for fucking years, and it almost drives me nuts sometimes. But, like, I don't dream about them. Like, I don't have dreams about them. Like, Huntari, my cyber wolf, I never have a dream about. I never have a dream about him. Like, he's not running around in my dreams, yet I'm always thinking about him. So that's interesting. And I'll have dreams about other weird shit that I eventually will put in my stories. So I wonder what, like, I wonder if, like, creative individuals or people who have cultivated their creative mind, I wonder if they have more vivid dreams. That'd be, you know, for all of you who are listening, reach out, if share your experience. When I post this, what I'm going to do. So I'm going to post this and I'll probably, like, throw a question up for people and I'm going to tag you in it.
Sure.
So, cause I'd be curious to get, excuse me, some people's experiences with their dreams, and I bet you there's a lot of people out there have had, like, really crazy dreams experiences and, like, conversations with people that have passed in their life, you know. I know plenty of people that have had that. Like, it hasn't happened to me, like you, it's happened to you, and my mom, but I've never, you know, maybe that's just a person, I don't know, maybe that's because I place so much value on solitude. You know, maybe that's why my dreams are always just me. And the people that are in them, like, I know that they're there. I know who they are, but I never, like I can't recognize their face. But I'm like, oh, that's Jim. You know, like, but I don't know that. But I do know it. Yeah, you know, as fucking weird as it sounds. It's just a dream world. It's the same as a psychedelic world. It's like, ah, okay, that's who that is. And you're just sure of it. Yeah, I don't know. So that is really what triggered this whole conversation, was that dream I had with the cannibal shit, you know, and that's why I came in Monday. I was like, we need to talk about dreams.
Yeah.
Because literally the whole drive into jiu-jitsu, I was thinking about that just because it was the most, I've never had a dream like that before. And it was so vivid and it was so fucking detailed and, like,
Did people taste good or not? That's what I need to know.
I don't remember that.
Damn it, dude. Come on.
Well, you know, because I have, here's, okay, so this is funny. And this could be part of, like, that whole subconscious thing, processing things. So some of the stuff I like to write, like, some serial killer stuff. But, you know, you hunted? Have you hunted?
Yep.
Okay. You've shot a deer.
Yep.
Yep. You've processed a deer.
Gutted, scanned, all that.
Yep. So I joke with people. I'm like, look, the way you process a deer is exactly the way you'd process a person.
Oh, yeah. Same difference.
Gut them, clean them, skin them. Same fucking thing. There's no difference. You still don't want to nick the guts.
Oh God, no.
You don't want to spoil the meat. So like,
that's the only thing, the fucking smells, man. That's what gets my ass. I can do visuals all day, but man, like if you nick the fucking guts on that. Yeah, oh God, that's bad.
Well, in this might've been October. I helped my parents. They had, they bought a bunch of meat birds. Mm. So we processed all them. And that I think is the worst smell.
Really?
Yeah. That smells weird. You know, when I drive by Pico,
yeah,
the fucking, I smell that fucking smell every time, because it's like the processing chickens, fresh butchered chickens have a certain smell. Mm-hmm. They just, it's that smell you smell when you're driving by. Mm-hmm. And like after processing a bunch, like it just lingers on you. And it's like, and it was actually, it was last summer, because it started getting hot and they were dying. Mm-hmm. So my parent, like, we need to get these processed like ASAP. So I went running over and they had eight. So I'd like shit all over me. And
yeah,
just because, you know, when you're like, I mean, maybe we'll do a whole episode on processing, but like it gets messy.
Yeah.
And it was that fucking smell. But like in the dream, yeah, I could sort of smell that. And the texture was real. And it was really like the other people that were eating it. They're eating it like chips. Like that was the fucked up part about the dream, was just, there was like bowls of human meat and just motherfuckers just like,
not even cooking it, man.
No, raw as fuck.
Damn, dude.
Just raw meat, dude. Raw.
Going ham on it, man.
No pun intended. Going ham on that shit. So dreams, man. Like, we all have them. Sometimes they're super intense. Sometimes they're really vivid. Now, I definitely recommend writing your dreams down. If you wake up from a particularly intense dream, I recommend writing that shit down.
Well, if you want to remember them, like that's the thing.
I think it doesn't matter. I think irregardless if you want to remember it or not, you should definitely write it down. Because when you put something down on paper, or even you get it out onto a physical thing, it like, it gives it permanence. Mm. And then like it said in this thing, like when you write your dreams down, it kind of, you can process it better, and you might even have that dream again. Mm. And you might figure something out. Maybe that's how it helps with your cognitive process, is that you have that dream, you write it down, so you're like making these connections. Mm-hmm. It's helped me. I don't know, like reading those dreams, it's like I get goosebumps, because like I know I experienced it. And when you read it again, you're like, whoa, yeah, dude, I totally remember it. Because we forget shit
so fast,
especially now, man. Like internet, social media, fucking YouTube. I mean, there's just so much shit coming our way. So when you write something down and then you go back and you read it, like, ooh, I fucking remember that. That was really vivid, you know? Mm-hmm. So I definitely would recommend people writing their dreams down. But all of you listening, definitely send me a message. I'd love to hear some of your experiences with dreams. Maybe on the next episode, we'll do a little recap and share some of them.
Be awesome.
I think we'll plan out the next one, but I almost feel like we need to talk about psychedelics. It came up so much. And like, I love spreading the word of psychedelics. I love talking to people about psychedelics. Just got some mushrooms. So like, I'm getting ready to revisit my teacher, as you call him, you know, my cosmic teacher, because hey, look, man, you can tell it's been a while. It's been too long since I've had my last little psychedelic trip. And every time I have it, man, it like, especially in points in my life where I'm like, dude, I need to figure this. I need an answer to something that I don't think someone can give me. Like I have to find it myself.
Right.
And that's the beautiful thing about psychedelics, is that you ultimately are your own teacher, because when you're in that psychedelic state, like you are in a dream state, like your brain is kind of just chilling. It's like, and then when you don't have all these constraints, like your mind can think in all kinds of different crazy ways. And when you can think in all kinds of crazy different ways, you discover the fucking structure of DNA. You know, you have crazy breakthroughs that you can never have when you're conscious, because your amygdala is gonna be like, no, 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 no. That's too crazy. That's too fucked up. We can't do that. Like, so you're just aware of more stuff. So we'll have to talk about psychedelics.
Sure, man.
But it's funny, because it's funny how similar the dream state and psychedelics really are. It's almost like, I'd say psychedelics is, it's it's lucid dreaming almost. It's like that's that if people can't do lucid dreaming, like a psychedelic trip is probably as close as anyone's going to get to a lucid dream, because you're aware, you know what's going on, and you can do things to change. Like say you're having a really challenging trip, like you can kind of change that, you know, get out of the setting you're in, or have someone be like, hey man, you're gonna be okay. Because sometimes that's all it takes, is just someone being like, hey, you're fine. Like,
an encouraging word, man.
Well, it happened at a music festival. This girl ate a bunch of mushrooms, and she had heard us talking about mushrooms a little like earlier in the day. So her and her friend come over, and her friend's like, she just ate a bunch of mushrooms, she's freaking out, like you guys are talking about it. And I'm like, look, when did you eat them? She's like, an hour ago. I'm like, I just looked at her. I'm like, you're going to be fine. No one's ever died of mushrooms. And that was it. That's all she needed to hear. Mm-hmm. And the minute she heard that, they left. And like the next day, it's like, she had a great, great experience. Cause as soon as she was assured, it's like, hey, you're fine. You're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. It's going to have a really good time. That's it. That's all they needed to hear. And I was like, fucking off to the races. It's fucking whatever she went through. So, all right. Anything else on dreams?
No, man. I think we fucking nailed it.
I think we nailed it. I think we're at like an hour and a half.
Yeah, maybe.
Pretty good. So yeah, this is going to be kind of the format of the podcast. I think this is pretty good. We're going to have a topic. We'll talk through it and go off on some tangents. And,
definitely.
yeah. And eventually we will get guests.
Yeah.
That is like really, I think once we're able to get some guests on here, that's going to be fucking awesome.
Oh yeah.
Like we already got a couple lined up. It's really just a matter of us getting a third mic set up. So I think, cause on this little Zoom podcasting thing, we can do, it's got a hookup for a Bluetooth lavalier.
Oh, okay.
Mic. So someone can just have a wireless mic, which would make it easier for us. Yeah. So right now I'm still working on when I think we'll release episodes Wednesday. I think Wednesday's like a good, so like we'll edit this and maybe have it up by, we'll figure that piece out.
Oh yeah.
We'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. It's all a learning in progress. So yeah, start looking forward to episodes of the podcast of the Heathen Machine Chronicles so far, but I have a feeling we're going to change that name. We're going to be dropping episodes for all of you. We'll be sharing them on Instagram. And then you can find them on Spotify, iTunes, pretty much wherever you can find a podcast. You can find this podcast, subscribe, and then we will continue bringing kick-ass podcasts your way with interesting topics and in the future, fucking interesting people.
Yeah,
because we can also take phone calls. So that's awesome. So we'll get some people from all over the country and all over the world. And I think this will be a good thing, man.
Yeah, man.
I think we can build something off of this.
Fuck yeah, man. Thank you guys for listening.
Yeah, thank you all for listening. And we will see you all next time. Take care.